We're starting the bottom of Chol Zayin Amud Bet, about five lines up. Amar Rava, Nishba la Kikar ve'achla. So a person took a shvua not to consume a loaf of bread ve'achla, and then he ends eats it. Im shiar mimenu kzayit, as long as there is a residual of a kzayit, nishal aleha. Then he can get hatarat nidarim or hatarat the hatarat for the shvua over here. But if he's consumed the entire loaf, if he's considered everything that's there to consume, every part of the Yisur, then he cannot get a hatarat nidarim or get a heter for the shvua anymore. So, amalei Rav Acha brei de Rav le Rav Ashi. Hey chidami, what's the case here? What type of shvua did he take? Ida amar shlo ochal. If he says that I will not eat, then mikzayit kama avdei li Yisurei. Then from the first moment he consumed the kazayit, he violates the Isur, because we saw this, that the shvuah shlo ochal means that I will not consume the amount of an achila. The amount of an achila is a kazayit. So every kazayit you consume is a violation of that shvuah. So once you've consumed the first kazayit, you're already in violation of the Isur. If he says I will not consume it, now ochlena means that he will not consume the entirety of the loaf. Why does it matter that he has a kazayit left? Even if there's a small amount left, any small residual that's left, that's enough to say that he has yet to violate the shvuah, and therefore she should be able to be shoel on the shvuah. So the premise of the question here, the premise of Rav Acha bar de Rava's question to Rav Ashi, is that it seems to be that Rav is after the lack of violation, meaning that if you've already violated the shvuah, you should not be permitted to have sheila on it. If you've already violated the Shavuah, then there's no ability to have a Sheila on the Shavuah. So he asks on this, okay, well, if that's the case, how can I? What is the case that this works? Because if I say Shavuah Shalo Ochal, if I say Shavuah Shalo Ochal means that every time I ate a Kazayit, I was already in violation. So why does it matter if there's anything left of the loaf? On the other hand, if I say Shavuah Shalo Ochlena, if I take a Shavuah on the entire loaf, and I even have less than a Kazayit left, I still have yet to violate the Shavuah, and I should be Shuel on it. So the Gemara says we can answer both of these. Either way, we express the shvuah, we can explain the position of Rava. And that is, in the case where he expresses the shvuah to say shlo ochal, that means that every time he consumes a kazayit, he's in violation. So even though he's violated the shvuah already in the consumption of one kazayit, maybe two kazaitim, nevertheless, if there's a kazayit remaining, he's still able to be shoel on the shvuah. Why? Because miga de mahanile sheila kazayit batra, as long as there is a single kazayit left of the loaf, that means that he still has the potential to violate the shvuah. That potential to violate the shvuah allows him now to have sheila, to ask to have a tara done on this shvuah. And since the hatara works for that final kazayit, it will also work lemafreya retroactively for the initial kazayitim that he had already consumed. That's if you say shvuah shlo ochal. The other possibility is shlo ochlena, that he takes the shvuah shlo ochlena, which means he will not consume the entirety of the loaf. In that case, if there's anything left, that should we allow him to do it, have hatara done here, because then he hasn't violated the isur yet. So Gemara says no. Ishir kzayit choshiv lishtuilele. As long as there's kzayit remaining in the loaf, then there's something of significance to get the hatarat nidarim, to go and ask on it. Whereas lo choshiv lishulele, if there's less than a kazayit left, there's not enough amount, there's not anything of significance that remains in order for him to go and then have sheila on the shvuah. So now the Gemara has answered it for either case. Irrespective of how you took the shvuah, whether it's shvuah shlo ochal or the shvuah shlo ochlena, in either case, Rava's statement that if there's a kazayit remaining, you are permitted to get sheila, that's either because we require something significant to remain, that's the case of Shavuah Shalachlena, or because we require something which would still be an Isur, something that in Shavuah Shalachal, that you have an Isur remaining on which you take the Sheila, and because it works for that, it works for the entirety of the Shavuah. So now the Gemara challenges this and says, Meitevei, we have a case in the Zirut, which is Mishnah Adar Shtei Nizirut. Someone took a Neder Nizirut, but he took two of them. So normally in this type of case, what happens? If you take a neder nizir, he says that Hare ani nazir, Hare ani nazir. If he does something like that, then he's a nazir for 30 days. He completes the first nizirut, and then he starts the second nizirut. In this case, what happened? He had neder shtei nizirut u'mana rishona. He completed the first nizirut. V'frish alei karban, and he already had the korbanot ready to go. He basically completed the nizirut, and he's ready to bring the korbanot. V'achakar nish ala rishona. Then he goes to a chacham, and he does a tarat nedarim with regards to the first nizirut. Altolo shnia berishona. Then he does not have to now count the second nizirut because the first nizirut doesn't exist anymore. So now when he did the first 30 days of nizirut, that already satisfied his second neder nizirut. So now what's the question from this? The question from this is that Rava says in order for you to do hatara on the shvua or hatara nedarim, you require something residual in order to do the hatara. Over here, when he's doing the hatara on the nizirut, he's completed nizirut already. It's completely done. There's nothing remaining. So how could you do hatara on this nizirut if there's nothing left to the nizirut? You've completed the nizirut. So the Gemara answers, Hachal ma'eskinan, what are we doing over here by the case? Bishalo kiper. He has not yet brought his karbanot. Right? Somebody who's called a mechuserei kapara is someone who has yet to bring the karbanot for the completion. So here the nazir has to bring the karbanot on the completion of his nizirut. The lack of completion of bringing the karbanot to his nizirut means that he has yet to complete the first nizirut. And that's why he can do atarat nedarim on the first nizirut and will satisfy the second nizirut. Rashi says, v'hatanyo. We have a braisa that brings this case and says, kiper. That even if he brought his karbanot, he can still ask on the first one. So Gemara says, "B'shelo gileach," a case where he has yet to cut his hair. And it's according to Rabbi Eliezer, he damar tiglachat me'akvo. According to Rabbi Eliezer, who says that until one cuts his hair to place under the korban shlamim, that is me'akev, the completion of his nizirut, and he may not consume wine or grape products until that point, or mitameh le'metim until he's done that tiglachat. V'hatanya gileach. Don't we have a brice that says even if he's already cut his hair? So again, what's left over then? Samaravashi nizirut karamit. You're asking from nizirut. Mi garam l'shniyash lo tichol rishona ve'ena. So here we have something that Ravashi mentioned before. This is what was mentioned in yesterday's daf, which is that there's really a difference between nizirut and when it comes to shvuot. Right? When it comes to a neder nizirut, both the action of the nizirut, the shvuah of the nizirut, exists. So before we said this, if you had two nidre nizirut, and then all of a sudden one of them, you released the first one, then the second one's chal, because the second one already existed. The Gemara said the same thing by shvuot. If you take multiple shvuot, if you release the first shvuah, then the second one's chal. If you release the second one, then the third one's chal. So here the Gemara says, by nizirut, it's less of a chiddush. Why is it less of a chiddush? Because when you take two nidre nizirut, you're going to accomplish them. Either you're going to have to do them sequentially, or if you don't have the first one, you'll have to do the second one. By shvuot, that's not the case. Right? By shvuot, as long as the first one is in existence and you complete the first one, the second will never be chal. So too over here, when we're talking about nizirut, the reason that when you do a tarat nedarim to nizirut versus the case of shvuah shelo ochal, for instance, is because what's left? By the case of shvuah shelo ochal, say I will not consume this loaf of bread, or shvuah shelo ochlena, either one of those two shvuot, and then the bread is no longer in existence, the shvuah now becomes meaningless at this point in time. The shvuah is only relevant as long as there's a loaf of bread or the isur is existent. Without the existence of the isur, there's no relevance to the shvuah. So therefore, unless you have something left to be shoel on, there is no shelah on the neder or the shvuah. On the other hand, by nizirut, that's not the case. When a person does the nizirut and he's done the process of nizirut, even after the completion of the nizirut, he's done it in entirety. The nizirut, the action, or the intangible item called that he was a nazir is still in existence. That, well, I don't know if we can call it loosely, but call it a mitzvah that he did. Or that fact that he was mekadev himself to be a nazir, even after completion of nazirut, that fact is still in existence. That fact being in existence is enough that if you're shoel on the rishona, that it could be the shniyah can be chal. And so that's the fundamental difference, Ravashi says, between nizirut and the shvuah. Over here, the shvuah is focused on a specific object. Once the object has been eliminated, the shvuah is meaningless. That's not true by nizirut. By nizirut, the relevance of nizirut remains even after the completion of nizirut. That relevance remains intact, and since that relevance remains intact, when you are get hetarat and darim on the first net of nizirut, the second one could be chal even after the fact, or even after the point in time that you've completed the first nizirut, because it's still nizirut is still in existence. That accomplishment is still there, and that accomplishment can either be focused on the first neder nizirut or can be focused on the second neder nizirut. Right now, we have an argument from a Meimar. A Meimar disagrees with Rava's position, and a Meimar says, "Afilu achla kula nishalala." Suppose the Rava requires a residual of Isur left in order to do the Sheila. My Meimar says, even if you complete the whole thing, you can always be Shoel. So where it says ibe shogeg, why is this the case? Because if it's a shogeg, mechusar karban, he still has to bring the korban. Since he has yet to bring the korban for his violation b'shogeg, the she'ela has implications. I mean, the fact that Yeshua the Chacham has implications here, because then you will no longer have to bring the korban. Ibe mezid, if he did it intentionally, he violated the Shavua, mechusar malkot. He still has yet to get the malkot. So therefore, there is relevance to his being matir the neder, or getting a she'ela on the Shavua, because that will eliminate the need to bring a korban, or eliminate the need to get malkot. So therefore, there is relevance even after the completion of the isur. Aval kaftu al amud, if they tied him onto the whipping post, lo. That already is too far. That's beyond the point of return. Kiddush Shmuel, that's what Shmuel says. Damar Shmuel, kaftu al amud, they tied him on the whipping post in order to execute him, you know, to execute the malkot that he deserves. Viratz mi beitin, and then he escapes, he runs away, patur. Then he's patur because the fact that we saw this together, we saw this in the Gemara Makot, which is that v'knikla achicha le'enecha, that the point of the malkot already accomplished, whatever they have to do is v'nikla achicha le'enecha. Once he's been embarrassed, he's had taken on a certain amount of busha from the punishment that he's received. That's whether he receives the punishment of malkot. Over there, we said the Gemara mentioned the case if he urinates on himself. In that case already, we take him off and he's done because the embarrassment of having urinated on himself is enough to be accomplished v'nikla achicha le'enecha. So Shmuel says the same thing. Kaftu al amud. They tied him to the post. That's true also. That's enough of an embarrassment. Now the Gemara says, wait a minute. Velohi, that's not true. Because Shmuel has two factors there. He says, kaftu al amud, and then viratz. He tied him to the post and then he runs away. And that's what we said in the Gemara Makot. His running away, the fact that he has to run away and escape from Beis Din, that's the embarrassment that's poter him. So it's only if he runs away. The mere fact that he's tied to the post is not enough. He has to be tied to the post and then run away. So the Gemara rejects this assumption that if he's kaftu l'amud, if he's tied to the post, he can still do she'elat chacham if he's able to somehow do it at that point in time, because he still has yet to accomplish what he needs through malkot of nikla achicha le'enecha, either until he gets the malkot, or until he runs away, or and something else happens that causes him some embarrassment in that case. And that's Gemara, hatam ratz, hacha lo ratz. The case of Shmuel is a case where he ran away. Over here, we're not talking about running away. So therefore, it's not sufficient that he was tied to the post, the whipping post, in order to be the completion of the malkot. Okay, so that's the machlokas between Rava and a Meimar. Amar Rava. So now we have a statement by Rava that turns out to be here. We're going to have a three-way machloket how to explain this position of Rava right now, which is Amar Rava. Shvua shlo ochal kikar zu, im ochal zu. I will not consume this kikar if I consume another kikar. And so now, let's just talk about the basic structure here. You have one kikar, which we'll call the kikar tnai, and you have another kikar called the kikar isur. So the kikar tnai is the one that generates the shvua. I mean, if I consume this kikar, then the other kikar will now become asur to me to consume. All right, so that's the basic framework of what we're talking about here. Now, the Gemara lays it out. Achalat rishona b'shogeg, v'ashniya b'mezid patur. If he eats the first one b'shogeg, and then the second one b'mezid, in that case he's patur. Rishona b'mezid, on the other hand, if he consumes the first one intentionally, v'ashniya b'shogeg, chayav. In that case he's chayav. Shtehem b'shogeg, if he consumes both of them b'shgaga, then he's patur. Shtehem b'mezid, if he consumes both of them with intent, so achle de tnaye, if he eats the tnai first, v'adar achle de yisurei, and then he eats the one of yisur, michayev, then he'll get malkot. Achle de yisurei, on the other hand, if he eats the yisur first, v'adar achle de tnaye, and then he eats the conditional one, plugged to Rabbi Yochanan of Reish Lakish, that's the machlokes of Rabbi Yochanan of Reish Lakish, the mandamar hatrat safek shma hatra, which is Rabbi Yochanan, that you'll be chayav, malkot, the mandamar lav shma hatra, patur, in that case, you'll be patur. Now, I didn't explain. I'm reading you the Gemara, and now we'll explain it. We'll go with the explanation of Tosafot first, which is the simplest explanation to understand over here. Tosafot says that when we're talking over here, Rishona, the focus of the Gemara is on the Tanai. All that matters here is what you did at the point of the Tanai. The Tanai is what generates the Shvua. If you consume the Tanai, that's what triggers the Shvua for the other kikar. So Tosafot says, this is the explanation of Tosafot, that it has to do, what we worry about here is when you ate the tanai, what was your mindset when you consumed the tanai? If when you consumed the tanai, you did it intentionally, that's the point when the shvua is chal. The shvuah, when it came out of your mouth, when you expressed it, there was no shvuah yet. The shvuah is not in effect yet because you have to fulfill the conditions that were laid out in the shvuah. The condition, one the condition laid out in the shvuah was that you consume one kikar. Once you've consumed that kikar, then the shvuah goes into effect. So what Tosla says, let's focus. That's what we have to focus. We focus on here, which is the tnai. If you consume the kikar bitnai, the one that triggers the shvuah, if you consume that bimezid intentionally, then the shvuah takes effect. Because at the moment that you ate that bimezid, the shvuah can take effect because you are aware of the fact that you're triggering the shvuah at that time. And since the chalot shvuah takes place at that time, you have to be aware of it being chal. That's what Tosfos says. As long as at the time of the tnai you did it bimezid, then it's chal. On the other hand, if you did it bishogeg, if you did the tnai piece bishogeg, then the shvuah is never chal. Because at the moment that you ate the kikar bitnai, the conditional kikar, that's the moment that the shvuah takes effect. But at that moment, you were a shogeg. And how can a shvuah take effect bishogeg? That's not, we need adam bishvuah. We have a person has to have understanding and intent that he is creating a shvuah. So that doesn't happen. So now, according to Tosafot, this is the way to read the Gemara. Right? The Gemara is, if the Rishonah bishogeg, Vishniah bemezid is patur, is the case where the Rishonah over here, the Rishonah is always the Tznai, and the Shniah, according to Tosafot, is the Isur. So if the Rishonah, if the Tznai was eaten bishogeg, then Ashniah bemezid patur. The second one is patur because you never put the Shvuah into effect. On the other hand, Rishonah bemezid, if you eat the Tznai, the conditional one intent, then Shniah bishogeg, and then you eat the second one bishogeg, then the Shvuah went to effect when you ate it intentionally, and the Shogeg generates the Korban. That's why you're Chayav. If Shtehem bishogeg, if they're both done unintentionally, there's no Shvuah, because there's no Chalot HaShvuah. At the time that to eat the Tznai, there was no Shvuah. Then Shtehem b'mezid, again, then there was a Chalot HaShvuah, because you ate the Tznai was done b'mezid. The only question is, when did you eat the Isur? Did you consume the Isur before the Tznai or after the Tznai? If you ate it after the Tznai, then we can tell you, if you consume this kikar visur, you're going to be chayav malkot. On the other hand, if you consumed the isur first and then the tnai afterwards, then when you ate the isur, we weren't certain that you were going to eat the one that triggers the shvuah. So that's a hatrat safek. Hatrat safek is because at the time that you consume the isur, we're not certain that you're going to violate the isur, and that's the machlokes between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish. That's the explanation of Tosafot. Rashi and the Rabbeinu Tam both agree and give a different pshat. They agree, they differ on one point, but their general principle is right. They believe that the first one means the first one literally. It does not mean, it doesn't matter whether it was the Isur
or the Tanai.
It's whichever one that you did first is called the Rishonah, and whichever one you do second is right called the Shniah. But what's relevant here is the Ma'aseh HaRishon. The first action you take must be b'mezid, must be done with intent, and the second action you take has to be done bishogeg, because the second action is what generates the korban. So the first action is mezid, because that's the whatever action you do first. It doesn't matter if you're consuming the conditional kikar or you're consuming the isur kikar. That is what creates the chalot ha-shvuah. So for the shvuah to take effect, it has to be done bimezid. So according to the Rabbeinu Tam and Rashi, the first loaf that you consume, doesn't matter if it's tnai, doesn't matter if it's the isur, has to be done with intent, because that generates the shvuah. That's the chalot ha-shvuah. The second one has to be consumed bishogeg, because that's how you bring a korban. On the other hand, if the second one is consumed b'mezid, then you'll get malkot. So what they're focused on, Rashi and Tosafot, are not focused, as opposed to the explanation of Tosafot, which focuses on the kikar of the tnai, the conditional kikar. Here, Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam focus on the first that you consume. The first one is what generates the chalot ha-shvuah, and therefore the first one has to be done b'mezid in order to generate the shvuah. Then whatever happens in the second one will be relevant if the first one was done b'mezid. Now the difference between Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam is that Rashi says also as a second condition. Rashi's second condition is that the isur has to be consumed b'shogeg. In order to be chayav a korban, it has to be that the isur is consumed at the time that it was he was a shogeg. So therefore, according to Rashi, and the difference between Rashi and the Rabbeinu Tam, all of them actually, the case, there's one case where you'll see a difference in their opinion. And that is when you consume the isur first, the loaf of isur first, and the loaf of tnai second, and in an instance where you did it b'mezid in the first place. You ate the isur b'mezid. You knew when you consumed the ezid there was a shvua out there, and then you knew if you consumed afterwards the loaf that triggers the shvua, you'll be chayav. But then later on, when you ate the loaf that triggers the shvua, you ate that b'shogeg. According to Rashi, the shvua is chala. The shvua works over here. Why? Because you consume the first one b'mezid, that makes the shvua go into effect. On the other hand, you will not bring a karban over here. You will not bring a korban in this case because you consume the second kikar, which is the kikar that triggers the shvua, b'shogeg. And we require you to do the isur b'shogeg in order to bring a korban. So according to Rashi, the shvua is there. You violate the shvua, but you don't bring a korban. According to Rabbeinu Tam, the shvua is in effect, and you'll bring a korban in that case. According to the first explanation of Tosafot, there will be no shvua here. Why? Because you consume the tanai b'shogeg. And the Tosafot says that everything depends on the tanai. And since you consume the tanai b'shogeg, there's no shvua in effect. Right, so that's the one case where you see the three shitot laid out where there's a real difference in their perspective towards this. So again, just to summarize, Tosafot believes that all we're focused on here is the tanai, the conditional one that triggers the shvua, and that's where we worry whether it was done by mezid and shogeg. Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam believe we focus on the first kikar you consume. Does not matter whether it was the isur or the tanai, whichever one you consume first, that has to be mezid in order to trigger the shvua versus shogeg. The difference between Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam will simply be which one you consumed second. That you still, according to Rashi, you still have to consume the isur b'shogeg, otherwise you don't bring a korban. If you don't do it in that order, you'll still be in violation of the shvua, but you won't have to bring a korban. Okay, that's the Gemara, which the Gemara just laid out. Those are the four different cases that we spoke about. So now the Gemara creates another case, an additional case, which is a little bit more complex, but basically runs into the same issues, which is Tlan Zubizu. He conditioned each loaf of bread on the other. Lo achal zu, im achal zu. I will not eat A if I consume B. Lo achal zu, I will not consume B, im achal zu, if I eat A. So that's the he basically conditioned each one on the other. So if he eats in either of the loaves, that will trigger an isur for the second loaf. So that's the case. As opposed to being here the previous case, which was that only one of them triggered and one of them was the isur, over here both of them are asur and both of them have a trigger because they each trigger each other. So then, v'chal zo b'zadon atzma. He consumed the kikar, the current loaf that he's eating, he ate it with intent. U'b'shigigat chevrata. At the time that he's consuming it, he knows that this has a isur associated with it. Yet, on the other hand, he forgets that this will trigger a isur on the second loaf, and then he consumes the second loaf, knowing that he's in violation of Isur if he consumes it, but he does not remember that when he consumes this, that it would trigger the other one. In that case, he's patur. He's patur because, according to Tosafot, which was the easy explanation, again, the conditional one was triggered b'shogeg. Both times that he consumed the trigger, he did not remember he was triggering a shavua. So when he does not remember he's triggering a shavua, there's no shavua going to effect. According to the Rabbeinu Tam and Rashi, which is, this is somewhat problematic in their Shita, this is why Tosos questions their Shita, over here, there's no really Rishona, because both of them are, right, both of them are triggers for the other. So what you have to say in their explanation is simply that the Rishona is the Rishona in terms of triggering. In terms of triggering over here, the trigger, since they're conditioned on each other, therefore the Rishona, the definition of Rishona will change based on each chala versus its friend or versus its chavero. Right now, what happens on the other way? There's another case. Zubishkigat atzma. When he consumes the current loaf, he doesn't remember that this has any Easter associated with it. Ubizadon chaverta. But he knows that this will trigger the other one to be chayav. And then he consumes the second loaf, knowing that, not remembering that there's any isur on this loaf, but knowing that it triggers an isur for the other one. In that case, he's chayav. He's chayav because both of the triggers were done with intent. That means the shvua takes effect. But the consumption of the isur, the consumption of each loaf, was done b'shogeg. So that's what's mechayev you a korban. So you'll bring a korban in that case. Now, shtehem b'shogeg, patur. If he remembers neither the fact that it triggers the shvua, nor that the consumption of it is asur, in that case he's going to be patur, because there's no chalot ha-shvua, the shvua never takes effect. Shtehem b'mezid, if he consumes both loaves with intent, meaning that, but knowing with the knowledge that, number one, it's triggering the other, and number two is that he's not allowed to consume this, then ashniya mechayev, on the second one for sure he's chayav. Why is he chayav on the second one for sure? Because the first one triggered the second one. And when he consumes the second one, we can say to him, if you consume this loaf, you are going to be in violation of your shvuah. So that for sure he gets Malkotan. The question is, Arishona, for the first one, it's a plug to the Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish. And the first one, because this is what happens, is when he consumed the first loaf, we say to him, listen, if you consume the second loaf, then you're going to be in violation of this first loaf. But at the time we give him that warning, we're not sure he's going to consume the second loaf. So that's what we call Hatrat Safek. And Hatrat Safek is a Machoket Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish. And therefore, Rabbi Yochanan will say, you're Chayav in that case for the first one, and Reish Lakish will say, you're Patur, because that's a Hatrat Safek. Amar of Mari, Afanam Manami Tanina. We have a Mishnah that supports this understanding over here, this position of Rava, about the fact that the Chalot HaShavuah has to take place B'mezid. Why is that? Because we have this case in Nidarim. This case in Nidarim is talking about there, you see that the part in parentheses is knocked out because it's not really relevant to our Gemara over here, but there were four types of Nidarim that were Chamim Matir. That's Nidre Zizurizim, Nidre Havai, Nidre Shogagot, Nidre Onsim. What's relevant to us here is Nidre Shogagot, and that's what we're talking about. Nidre Shogagot, Ketzad. What is the case of Nidre Shogagot? So now he says, Konam. Now the word Konam over here means that Konam, he asserts on himself something. He says, something will be Asur, Im Achalti, Vim Shatiti. If I ate or drank today, then all the fruits in the world are Asur to me. That's what he says. So he premises his Isur. Premises the fact that he will no longer be able to consume all the fruits in the world on the fact that he already ate today. But you know what? He didn't, at the time he took the Shavua, he forgets that he had eaten today. Or he forgets that he drank today. Then afterwards he remembers Shachal v'shata. And then afterwards he remembers that he actually ate and drank. Or, he says, She'eni ochel v'she'eni shoteh. He says, in the future, I will not eat and I will not drink. Meaning that he says, I will be asur to all the peirot in the olam if I eat today or if I drink today. V'shachach. And then he forgets. V'chal v'shata. And then he eats and drinks later in the day while forgetting. Mutar. In both of these instances, he is mutar. Why is he mutar? It's for the exact reason that Rav explained. When does the shvua go into effect? The shvua goes into effect or is triggered by the fact, again, if he says it in the past tense, by the fact that he knew it that when the time that he takes the shvua, he says, I didn't think I ate. Since I didn't think I ate, that's why I thought the shvua doesn't take effect. Later on, when he remembers that he really did eat, then that was an accidental triggering of the shvua. An accidental triggering, or it's really a neder, the accidental trigger of a neder does not work. Or the other way around, if he says that in the future I will not consume, and that will trigger the neder, and then in the future he consumes bishogeg by accident, that accident again cannot trigger a shvua. And that's exactly what Rava says. Rava says, at the time that the shvua takes effect, when you make a condition, when the shvua takes effect is when the condition has now been fulfilled, you have to have, at that time, adam b'shvua. You have to be intent, and you have to be aware of the fact that you are triggering and putting a shvua into effect. If you're not aware at that moment in time, the shvua will not go into effect. And that's exactly what this Mishnah says. This Mishnah says that the shvua will not take effect if your statement was either b'shogeg, or your condition is violated b'shogeg, because the triggering of the neder was done b'shogeg. That's the time that the neder takes effect. You cannot generate a neder at the moment that you violate the shvua b'shogeg, or when you said the shvua, you didn't remember something, so you said it b'shogeg. And that's the support that supports the position of Rava, who said before that everything's dependent on intent. It's not the moment that you express the shvua. It's not the moment that you take the neder that's important. What's important, I mean, it can be if you're talking about the past, but what is important is at the time of the fulfillment of the condition. The time of the fulfillment of the condition, we need to know, do you understand that you're now creating a shvua or triggering a neder, or do you not know? And that's what's relevant. And that's exactly what Rava said before. V'tani Allah. We learned on that Mishnah in Nidarim, Kishem Shinidresh Gagot Mutarim, Kach Shvuot Shigagot Mutarot. So same way it works for Neder, which is the fact that the Neder is not Chal, in that case where there's an accidental triggering to put the Neder into effect, so too by Shvuot. You cannot have an accidental trigger of a Shkaga. You cannot put a Shvua into position when you do not have intent. And that's Rava's position. Right now, we have a new case here, a new sugya. Ayefa, Tani Shvuat Bei Rabo. Ayefa went to, and he learned in Rabo's Beis Medrash, he learned there, and he learned Shvuot. Paga Bei Avime Achua, his brother Avime bumped into him. And Ayefa and Avime are both the sons of Rechava in Pumpadita. And here his brother comes, Amalei. So he says to him, Shvuah Shlo Achalti Mahu. What's the din? If I say, Shvuah Shlo Achalti, and then I said, Shvuah Shlo Achalti. So what would you say over here, right? The immediate response would be, wait, we've seen this in the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, shvush lo chal, shvush lo chal. It's not chal because that's isur chal al isur. And that's his answer right away. Amalei, enu chayav la achat. It's only chayav once. Two shvuot on the same item, you can't have isur chal al isur. Amalei, ishtabashta. You made a mistake. Why did you make a mistake? Because there's a difference between the formulation in the future versus the formulation in the past tense. When you formulate in the future and you say, shvush lo chal, I will not consume. Shvush lo chal, I will not consume. Then you're placing an isur, you're creating an isur on something. On the other hand, when you say shvush lo achalti, when you talk about the past tense, at the moment you take the shvuah, the relevance of the shvuah is already known. Did you eat or did you not eat? Either it was true or false at that moment. Then that shvuah disappears. When you take the second shvuah shlo achalti, the first shvuah is not relevant anymore. Because it's either the sheker or was the amet. So it was sheker, that shvuah is gone, and now you're telling sheker again. It's a new case of sheker, and therefore you can have two korbanot. He says, "Hari yatzah shvuah the sheker." So therefore, the second shvuah is also be sheker, and over there you'll be chayav twice. You say shvuah shlo achalti, shvuah shlo achalti. You'll be chayav for each sheker that you take. Now, shvuah shlo achal teisha ve'eser. Take a shvuah that I will not consume 9 of any item. Pick any item you'd like. 9 figs and 10 figs. Mahu. So he says, chayav al kol achat v'achat. That's two different shvuot. One shvuah that you were not going to consume 9 figs, and another shvuah that you will not consume 10 figs. So he says, you should be chayav in each one of them. He says, amalei ishtabashtu. You got it wrong again. Itesha lo achil, eser lo achil. He says, you can't have it. The only way to consume 10 is to consume 9. You could not violate the shvuah of consuming 10 unless you violate the shvuah of consuming 9. I mean, so that is basically a shvuah chal al shvuah, or isur chal al isur. The 10 cannot be violated unless you violate the 9. If that's the case, then he should only be, right? Itesh lo achil, eser lo achil. If you can't consume 9, you can't get to 10. That means he's only in violation once. Because he's taking a future statement. In the first case, shlo achalti is a past tense. So he took sheker, and that's done. Sheker, and he's done. In this case, he's taking a future statement, which is, right, I'm not going to assume 9, and then I will not consume 10. Well, if you can't to 10 unless you've not consume 9. So the only way you can violate the second shvuah is to violate the first shvuah. On the other hand, what he says now, next question is, shvuah shlo achal eser v'teisha. So shvuah, I will not consume 10, and then shvuah, I will not consume 9. Maho. So now he thought I got wise to it. He says, "Enu chayav lachat." You just told me that in that case, I only won one. I'm leish tabashti. Got it wrong again. Eser hu delo achil, hatesha miachil. Over here, if you just left the first shvuah in place, which is I will not consume 10, then he does not violate. If he ate 9 te'inim in that case, is he in violation? Is he in violation of the shvuah? No, because if he eats 9, he hasn't eaten 10. That's the equivalent of what we had before. If you said shvuah shlo achlena, which means I will not consume the whole loaf, and then you take a shvuah shlo achal, which means I won't consume a kazayit, which is less than the whole loaf, then the shvuah is chal. So to over here. If you take a shvuah that I will not consume 10, and then a shvuah I will not consume 9, then 9 is less than 10. 10 did not cover 9, and 9 is a new shvuah, and therefore both are chal. If he eats 10, then he'll be in violation of both shvuot. So Amar Abaye says, Zimnin de mishkachat lo. There is sometimes where Ayefa is right, Lahad Ayefa. Sometimes when Ayefa answered over here that he's only chayav once, even though his brother Avime, who was asking him about, you know, was testing his brother who had just studied Shavuot by Rabbah, even though he said he was wrong, there's sometimes that he's right. Kidemar, I'll tell you the case. Kidemar means the Amar Rabbah. Mar is referring to Rabbah, the Amar Rabbah. Now this girsa, we're going to read the girsa in the Gemara. This is the girsa of Rashi in the Gemara. I'll explain to you after we finish the Gemara. After we explained it, I'll come back and tell you that Tosfot disagrees with the girsa and reads it differently. Right now, Mishkach Alahadi Evakidemar Da'amar Rabo Shvuah Lo Ochal Teinim VeAnavim. Now Rashi says over here, as opposed to what we saw earlier in the Gemara, when it says Shvuah Lo Ochal Teinim VeAnavim, which means that I will not eat either. That Rashi says here, the vav here is a vav chibur, and it means I will not consume both. So someone takes a shvuah, they will not consume grapes and figs. That means that both, in order to be in violation of the shvuah, I must consume both a fig and a grape. V'chazar mar shvuah lo ochal teinim. And then he goes ahead and he says a shvuah that I will not consume a fig. So in that case, both shvuah are chal, because when I first shvuah said I have to consume both figs and grapes to be in violation. And the second shvuah is I just have to consume a fig to be in violation. So the second shvuah is chal. Then v'chal teinim. he eats a teina. So now he eats a teina, he's only in violation of the second shvua. But then he's hifrish karban. He takes out a korban to take care of the violation of that shvua of eating the teinim. And then after he's already been mafrish the korban to rectify the violation of the second shvua, he goes in and consumes anavim. So Mar says, anavim chatzi shiur. Now the consumption of Navim is not in violation of the second Shvua. Why? Because the Tanaim that you consumed, you've already taken care of when you took out the Korban, and now you remember that you were in violation of the second Shvua. Those Tanaim are now eliminated. When you now consume a Navim, it's as if you're consuming a Navim by themselves. The other Shvua requires you to consume both Tanaim and a Navim. Over here, you only have the consumption of Navim. Consumption of Navim by themselves does nothing. And so therefore, in that case, a Yefel will be right. Even though you have two Shvuot that are Chal, because one is less than the other, meaning that Teinim and Anavim, and then you take the one of Teinim, Teinim is like 9 versus the 10, which we're going to see in a second, the Gemara is going to express this in the 9 and 10 case, then even though you violated the both Shvuot, because you ate both the Teinim and Anavim, nevertheless you only bring one Chiyuv Chatat. On the other hand, that's what the Gemara says, Hachanami, in our case, Gugom Damar Shvuot Shlo Chal Eser, says I will not consume 10, and then he comes on and says, I will not consume 9. Now he consumes 9. And he takes out a korban to rectify the violation of the shvuah of Teisha, the second shvuah. And then he eats the 10th one afterwards. He finally eats the 10th one only after he takes out a korban to rectify the first 9. Then the 10th one is a chatzi shiur. And a chatzi shiur, you cannot be chayav. So since on a chatzi shiur you cannot be chayav for the other shvuah. And again, you'll only be chayav once. Even though you've generated two shvuot, you look like you violated both shvuot. Nevertheless, you only bring one korban on it. So that's where Abaye comes up with this instance where Ayefa is actually right. Even though Meikar Aloch of Yimi is right, which in those cases you will be in violation of both shvuot, you can come up cases where you're only in one violation of shvuot. The problem is that the girsa in all the Sfarim is not like this. In every other Gemara, Rashi changed the girsa, but in every other Gemara, the girsa was actually the other way around, which is first he took the shvua shlo achal te'enim, and second of all, he took the shvua shlo achal te'enim ve'anavim. And that goes along with the Gemara that we saw earlier, which is when you say shvua shlo achal te'enim and anavim, it doesn't mean I will consume both of them, it means either or. And we saw earlier in the Gemara, how is the shvua achal? Because you say shvua shlo achal te'enim, that's one shvua. Then I take it to shvua shlo achal te'enim v'anavim, we say migo that's chal on the anavim, it's also chal on the te'enim. So since it works for the anavim, it also works for the te'enim. So that's the other girsa. That's the girsa of the Tosafot, which says it's the other way around. The problem in this girsa, and what drove Rashi to switch around the girsa, is because in that case, there's no thing called chatzi shiur. How could you call that a chatzi shiur? If you then consume te'enim, right, and then you are mafish karban, and then you take out and eat anavim, that's not a chatzi shiur. That's a full shiur. When you say shvua shlo achal anavim vit te'enim, anavim te'enim means I'm not gonna, it's a shvua on the te'enim, it's also a shvua on the anavim. Each one's an independent shvua. So that's Rashi's problem with that girsa was that I cannot come up with a case that you could describe this as chatzi shiur. So what Tosfot in the end has to say or describe is that, yes, Eino Hanami, Rashi is right, that this is really not the same case, because it's not called the Chatzi Shiur here by Teinim and Anavim, but we generate a similar circumstance that we would call the Chatzi Shiur by 9 and 10. So Tosfos has to work around the language in order to preserve the old Girsaot in the Gemara, and the Girsaot that we find in Nidarim. Rashi says, in order to preserve the word Chatzi Shiur and to have a consistency between the cases in Chatzi Shiur, I have to change the order of the Shvuot, and that's the Girsa we have in our Gemara, which is that first it's Shvua Shlo Achal Anavim V'Teinim, and then afterwards Shvua Shlo Achal Teinim. And Rashi has to reinterpret here what means Teinim and Anavim means and, not or. In the other cases we saw, Anavim and Teinim meant or, Anavim V'Teinim. Now Rashi's interpreting as and, that it consumed both of them. Just, I'm pointing it out because Tosfos, because of the old Girsot, and that's Tosfos Girsa. We read it like Rashi, and we explained it like Rashi's Girsa up front. I'm just making you aware of the fact that Tosfos has the opposite Girsa and the problems with each of the two Shitot. Okay, we'll stop over here.